It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether through those particular stations, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, the radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, or anywhere in between. We are live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am your host, Joy Barrett. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for all things gardening, now containing over 925 garden videos, in-studio videos, podcast, and a whole lot more. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is where you can find all of that. Well, there's a number of great benefits of being in the garden, and courtesy of Central Texas Gardener, which is a PBS gardening program out of the Austin, Texas area. We are good friends with the producer, Linda, down there. They were able to pass along a transcript of a little bit of their segment indicating how healthy getting your hands in the soil really is.
It's called the Farm Effect. Gardening is healthy for you. Most of you Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener fans already know that the amazing healing energy that can be found when your hands are in dirt, digging in the dirt, is good for you, and it is good for children also. Microbes and garden dirt can help boost your immune system and make you healthier and happier. Unfortunately, we have become a nation of germaphobes, using hand sanitizers and wipes and strong chemicals for disinfecting our homes. In the past 20 years, there has been a dramatic increase in asthma and allergy rates. We see pharmacies popping up at every corner as a result. 1 in 12 children has asthma, even more have allergies. When we changed from an agrarian society in the late 20th century, allergies have become more prevalent in the upper class in the U.S. and Britain. Farmers and their families were least likely to suffer from allergy issues. A recent study of an Amish community in the U.S. found that they had the lowest rate of allergies in developed nations. The study found that these Amish families, including pregnant women and children, worked and played among farm animals and in barns where they were regularly exposed to a variety of microbes. Women exposed to microbes while pregnant have found to have children with the lowest rates of allergies. This initial exposure causes the children less reaction to pollen and dander, a sort of vaccination effect which was named the Farm Effect. The problem is not that the pollen is out there, it's that we react to the pollen and early exposure to allergens allows children's immune systems to adapt to their environment. A common soil mycobacterium was found to have a natural antidepressant effect on the brain, and it can actually have the same effect that the drug Prozac has on the brain without all the side effects. Working in the soil can help stimulate serotonin production, which leads to feeling more relaxed and happy. When we harvest food, the brain produces more dopamine. There's actually a harvest high that is probably linked to our primitive brain when hunting and gathering successfully was crucial to survival. Having your hands in the soil can lower your blood pressure and stress hormones and improve memory. Inflammatory skin conditions like psoriasis and gut conditions like Crohn's disease and even arthritis can be improved by experiencing soil microbes. Gardeners get lots of vitamin D from being outside and also increase their good hormone, serotonin, which helps regulate melatonin levels, which leads to good sleep. Children who play outside regularly tend to have more adventurous, confident, and self-motivated to use their imaginations and more. So get the kids involved in gardening as early as possible. Provide them with a window box or container gardens if you don't have a garden space. You might even notice they will eat wider variety of fruits and vegetables when they have the experience of growing and harvesting food. And let kids get dirty. Splashing in puddles and making mud pies is not only fun for kids, it's actually good for them. And if you're feeling blue, a little garden green might be your best cure.
Courtesy of Central Texas Gardening PBS program, we thank Linda for that. And it goes without needing any explanation for that. So let's get into what we need to look for in our garden here during the summer months, because there's a certain level of gardener who plants their produce, puts seeds in the grounds, and they think that's all they need to do. And they may just be uneducated. And there's certain procedures in which we need to practice and follow and
look for. Or maybe that's all they want to do.
Maybe that's all they want to do. With any activity in life, there is a maintenance requirement in order to have an end result that is successful and rewarding, whether you're putting a car together or a model plane or gardening. You have to take steps, and you just can't do step one and expect step 12 to be successful when you don't do the steps in between.
So powdery mildew,
which is not yet relevant in the garden, at least not yet, but it's something that we're all going to get on our cucumbers or melons or pumpkins or squash.
Right. Well, hopefully not, but it is possible, especially with all this rain we've been having, which is not a bad thing, but it could be problematic. So it basically looks like white powdery patches on the leaves of the plants, and basically the plants eventually would become suffocated by this disease. The reason for it is because of not enough cool night temperatures, the air's a little bit too humid, and then you combine the rain with that, and then the plants being maybe too close together is what makes it a problem.
That powder, that mildew, begins to form in the cool night temperatures with that moisture that still resonates on the leaves, and then that prevents the plant from absorbing the sunlight and begins to suffocate it or choke it out. If you get the early stages of it, and you can look on this on any of your search engines, you can eliminate, you can cut off those plant leaves that have that on it on the early stages and slow it down that way. What are some other remedies that you can?
So one thing you can do is you can do an online search for some remedies, but what we found effective, which slowed it down. It didn't get rid of it, but it slowed it down.
Some people say, oh, I've had it, and it never bothered my plants at all. Now, whether that is true or not, I was not in their garden. But what you can...
But what slowed it down was a solution of milk and water that we sprayed on the tops of leaves and underside of leaves, and it did slow it down.
There are chemical applications in which you can apply to your plants to help eat or dissolve that mildew. But if you just go online and search powdery mildew residue or remedies, home remedies. Joe Lampo, he was a guest from on the program here a couple of weeks ago, host of PBS's Growing a Greener World. He's got a great article of all these home practices in which you can do in order to prevent. And even there's some preempted measures in which you can take before you actually get the powdery mildew, so you don't have to. You can be proactive instead of reactive. So powdery mildew is something you're going to get on your viney crops. Without any, you know, it's going to happen. We've had it a number of years consecutively. If you know what you're doing, you can prolong that life of your plant. Bad bugs and other unfriendly creatures in your garden.
So one simple solution that you can do to get rid of bad bugs is to increase the good bugs. And we did a video on this a couple weeks ago where we showed basically it's like a kind of like a bug bath almost, where you're attracting the good bugs to your garden by giving them a place to sit and drink water. And that will help a lot of times get rid of the bad bugs. But then there's also things like if you have the tomato hornworm problem, you can put bird seed in little containers around your tomatoes that will attract the birds who are going to get the hornworms. So it's kind of like working within your ecosystem using the good friendly animals and bugs against the bad ones.
And you just need to be vigilant. There are some times when you have to take excessive means in order to control the bad bugs in your garden. We put a video out yesterday. It's on the Instagram page. You can find all that on the website. That is a garden tip. We usually do a 60-second garden tip on Friday, and it's about maybe not weeding as much. We found some lamb's quarters, which is an edible plant, an edible weed. It's a weed for most people. Native Americans used this as an edible plant. You can make pesto out of it. We found several of them in a walk path in which we had not covered yet. One was completely decimated by black aphids, and the other ones were fine. The plants around that we were growing, the tomatoes, and the yacons, were not affected at all because these bad insects attacked the weeds and not our plants that we were growing. So you can find that on the on the Instagram page or on the Facebook page. But something maybe those of you who don't want to weed as much, this is an encouragement for you to leave some of those weeds in the garden. We find that with thistles as well, that these aphids will attach themselves to the thistles and suck the juice out of it. An aphid is a bug like a tick on a human or animal. It sucks the blood or the juices out of the plant. And eventually enough of them will attach them where it kills the plant.
Right. So then another problem is a sign that you might be having problems. The plants will turn a different color. One classic sign of this is when the plant starts to yellow. That is often a nitrogen deficiency. Nitrogen is part of what makes your plants green. And so that could be from too much watering, too much rain. If you're getting too much rain, that's not something you can necessarily control. But you can look to your garden and see if there's a reason why, maybe in one particular area, like a couple of years ago where we had some peppers, was a low area in our garden which constantly got puddled. And now we've taken initiatives to bring that up up a bit.
As well as if your soil is too densely packed, let's say you have a very clay area that holds that moisture extremely, you know, a lot and causes the water to pool there, as well as the soil is not aerated enough and the water can't get through or the plants can't pick up the nutrients maybe that it's needing, or you have poor soil where it's lacking that nutrients that it needs. So
another thing is early blight, which we've talked about several times, but one thing to always combat early blight would be to mulch. Mulching is good for around all of your plants, really. It's going to help reduce weeds. It's going to help reduce watering if you do need to water, and it's good for preventing things that are in your soil to splash up onto your plants.
If you have a discoloring in your tomatoes, it's usually the lower leaves that it begins with. It's yellow with black spots. You can search this to confirm the problem that you have, but it's 99% early blight. Remove those bad leaves and throw them in the trash, as well as continue to clean the bottom 6 to 8 inches ground level to up the plant. Make sure it's just bare stalk to prevent any leaves from touching the ground. And that will reduce your problems. And if you do have a outbreak, you can remove up to 25% of the actual foliage on the plant. Any more than that, you're going to really stress the plant out, but you want to remove all that infested leaves. And be careful when you touch other plants, because you can carry those spores on your gloves, on your hands, on your tools to uninfected plants. So keep that in mind as well. Proper watering is important to get your plants. We talked a little bit about that. Other things you want to be aware of are corn smut, which is if you plant corn in the same area multiple years in a row. It's actually a Hispanic cuisine. It's a specialty down there in South America and Mexico, but it's not a pleasant thing to look at. But that's because you're having too much nitrogen in the soil, which is messing up the development of the ear of corn. Bean rust, that's
a common one. And some of these are going to be airborne, so some of them cannot be easily prevented either.
There's black spots on roses, and that's just some of the things you need to look for. And if you have a problem, you please do not hesitate to email us with a photograph so we can identify it. And if we can't identify it, we can send it to people who are able to identify it, and we'll get you a solution to your situation.